Welcome to the Unchained Podcast, guys. I'm your host, Keelan Martin. Yo, thank you guys for joining me for episode 25. First and foremost, as always, thank you guys for your love and support. Thank you guys for tuning in, sharing the messages. Thank you guys for even interacting with me. But here's my one wish, that when you interact with me, make sure you do it either on Facebook, or do it on Instagram, or do it on the anchor.fm/unchained. And here's why. Is because sometimes some of you ask questions that I'm sure would be great to be asked publicly. Therefore, I can stop answering the same question over and over again. And these are not like deep questions, but sometimes it's where you get the context from. How does this apply to your life? What version do you read? How do you study? And these are great things, I think, that I can share with everyone. So those of you who are curious and want to actually, do Bible study with me, or if you need prayer requests or anything like that, just make sure that you guys reach out on one of the channels. Therefore, I can share it with you guys publicly and everybody else can see. But I truly thank you guys. I think we're making it into to 12 countries now, man, which is great, man. So phenomenal. I think the last one was Nigeria. So thank you guys. Like I said, I don't know how the messages are getting out. I don't know who's sharing them. But God will do what he will do when he wants to do it. But anyway, thank you guys for your love and support. Again, if you guys want to support financially, you guys can send your donations to Cash App at $NoChainsOnMe. That's Chains with a Z. That's Cash App, No Chains on Me, and that's Chains with a Z. Or you can make your donations to anchor.fm/unchained right there on the homepage. And these are just my two channels right now. Of course, we'll open it up for things later on as I'm working on just some new graphics, some new plugs, some new channels, just some things to make the podcast a little bit easier. So I appreciate you guys. Thank you guys for supporting me. It really means a lot. Moving on though, man. You guys saw that last night on Facebook, I said today's podcast was going to be titled Disgusted. And I tell you guys why here in just a minute. My daughter, she texted me this morning and said, "Dad, why are you disgusted?" I said, "I'm not disgusted." I said, "That's the name of the podcast." So, again, that was just funny, a little funny story. But with that being said, man, I just want to share with you guys something that God laid on my heart. And I decided to, dig deeper into something that I brought up in my men's group last night. I'm not sharing any of their personal information, but I was preparing to share the message with them the other day. And God really laid something on my heart. And so much so that he even took me through some flashbacks and some things that God wanted to speak to me about. As you guys know, you've heard me a million times before. I never put out anything on this podcast that I have not experienced myself or that God is not talking to me about. So just know that for sure, guys, that when I'm really speaking to you, I am hearing from the Lord. I am not getting on here doing messages just to be doing them. As a matter of fact, if you've been listening to this podcast long enough, you know that I am not the kind of speaker that will just ultimately just start doing messages based upon the season. I don't do that. That's a very cliche thing to do. But to each his own. Maybe I learned how to do that at one point, but that is not, Mother's Day was not a message that he set on my heart for me to speak to you guys about. Although I will say, let me take a second to acknowledge all the mothers out there. I love and honor you. I respect you highly. Those of you who are great mothers and you really put your all into raising your kids and being there and making sure your kids have everything that they need. I was definitely blessed with a great mom and, as well as, other mother figures in my life. But, I've just been blessed to have some great women in my life. But for those of you, like I said, your mom's out there, happy Mother's Day, although it's early, but you deserve it. Happy Mother's Day. And I hope your family celebrates you well. So, I want to kind of get into, what the Lord was really putting on my heart. Before I do that, let me go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. I just want to thank you for today, another opportunity to worship and bring glory to your name. For this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. May all those who are listening rejoice and be glad with the opportunity that they've had today. May they make the most of it. May they seek you in all that they wish to do, all they plan to do. May they seek your guidance in all things, Father God. May we not lose reverence for who you are as a king, as a father, as a provider. Let us remember to stay in awe of you, Father, and hold you up in reverence, Father God. Let the word that you give me to speak, may it fall on the eyes, ears, and hearts of the Holy Spirit that is within each and every person listening, Father God. We just pray that this seed takes root and that it grows and that it produces, Father God, to fruit after its own kind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to make this quick. I don't want to make this long, but I just want to give you what God has laid on my heart. And, you know, this came out of, again, like I said, me studying for a men's group the other day. And I kind of want to back it up with some context, though. I want to back it up with some context. And the context being is that as I was dwelling on this message, you know, and I came up with the word disgusted, and I'll tell you why here in a little bit. But I was reminded of the times where I would go out to eat with my lady, and we would be trying to find something to eat, but we would always be met with indecision, right? We would always be met with, hey, where you want to eat? I don't know. Where you want to eat? Hey, where you want to eat? I don't know. Where you want to eat? And so it really didn't matter, because at the end of the day, I already knew what she was going to order. It was either going to be grilled chicken salad or anything buffalo or some kind of wings, right? That's just her favorite. But I already knew, you know, like what she was going to order. So the whole fact of indecision, it just really wasn't, it wasn't a big deal, but it just made the process take longer to get to the actual goal of getting a meal at the end of the night, right? And so I just thought about it and I laughed for a minute. But then, you know, the Lord started to open up that small part of indecision and started to deal with me on a more intimate level. And so I started to realize that in my life and in my transition, I began to realize that a lot of this particular season of my life, and I guess I've been in this season for about maybe 2.5 years now. And when I say this season, I mean where God called me into my becoming, but due to my indecision, I have not yet arrived to the place where God has called me to. So it almost, again, took me back to Exodus, where the children of Israel kept marching around the mountain. And it wasn't the fact that they didn't know how to get to where they were going, but God was like, you know what? Because you can't decide to operate by truth and what you know and get out of your feelings, I'm going to keep you marching around this mountain. So it wasn't the fact that they couldn't get to where they were going. It was because of the fact that they were being indecisive with their trust in what the Lord could do and provide. They would stay in the wilderness. They would stay lost. They would stay without the promise because they could not decide whether or not to operate in truth or operate in their feelings. Okay. So think about that. They wandered around 40 years on a trip that should have taken 40 days because they could not make the decision on whether or not they were going to operate out of truth or they were going to continue to operate out of indecision. Right? So when God was starting to deal with me, when he was starting to speak to me and talk to me about, you know, my life and where I am, he said to me, you know, Keelan, there are a lot of things you could have avoided, but you could not avoid them because of your lack of indecision, right? And so on the outside looking in, you would probably think that my lack of indecision were because of outside circumstances or outside influence. No, when we are people who are operating in indecision, it has nothing to do with external circumstances or things that happen outside of us. These are things that happen internally. Okay, these are things that happen internally. We're always trying to decide whether or not we're going to serve the Lord or if we're going to serve self. And when you are when you're indecisive about whether or not you're going to serve the Lord or serve self, you end up in indecision. And so in indecision, you're going to always meet chaos. You're going to always have confusion. There's going to always be infidelity between you and the Lord. So you're going to always have idol gods. You're going to have Facebook taking priority. You're going to have Snapchat taking priority. You're going to have TikTok taking priority. You're going to have things taking priority in God's position because you're indecisive about where or not you want to serve, right? You let your fears and doubts gain momentum in indecision. You give mental control to the enemy in indecision. You have no goals in indecision. You randomly target stuff in indecision. You are busy all day long doing nothing with indecision, right? So your idolatry and your servanthood is all in vain because you are operating out of indecision. You have not yet made your mind up about what you want to do in life, right? And this is a huge part of where our trouble comes from, because we're indecisive about what we want to do as people, as Christians, as husbands, mothers, fathers, as children of God. We are indecisive, right? And so I'm going to share with you just a few stories where we can see some indecision. So one of the stories that jumped out at me is the book of Jonah, right? And it's four chapters. I can't read all four chapters, but in chapter one, we see where Jonah has a conversation with the Lord, and the Lord gives him specific instructions about what he is to do. And Jonah gets up from the conversation and he runs from the Lord. It didn't say he took a day or two. He thought about it. It says he gets up from the conversation and he runs from the Lord. Instead of him going to Nineveh as he's supposed to speak to the Ninevites, he gets up and gets on a ship that was headed for Tarshish, which is the opposite direction of where he's supposed to go, right? So if he's talking to God and God has given him clear instruction, he is undecided about whether or not he's going to serve the Lord or serve himself, okay? And so because of that, he ends up in chaos and he ends up in confusion and he ends up in the belly of a fish. So his indecision about whether or not he was going to serve the Lord puts him in the belly of a fish. And now he's praying to God to get him out of the situation that he placed himself into. So because God is merciful and just, God frees him from the belly of the fish. And he spit up on the island of Nineveh. And then he goes and preached the message that he was originally called to speak beforehand. So he goes and preaches the word of God, so much so that you can tell that Jonah had a gift. Because if you don't have a gift, you don't have the anointing if you're not operating in your gift. And you can tell Jonah was operating in his gift. How so? Because the whole country, the whole land repented. Even the cows fasted. So from the king to the cattle, everybody fasted. Everybody who was in sackcloth and ashes, nobody ate. Nobody ate. And so with that kind of anointing, you know, he caused the whole nation to repent. And so the crazy thing was, after this happened, God saw true repentance. He saw them turn around. He saw what they were willing to do to remove themselves from the wrath of God. And the thing about this is, like, out of Jonah's indecision, we see where people made a definite decision, right? So God used Jonah's indecision to take him to a wild and crazy bunch of people who made a distinct choice to repent, turn from their wicked ways and turn to God. And God changed his mind. And see, we don't see God make indecisive movements. But the only time you see where God changed his mind was where he's withholding judgment from somebody who repents. That's the only time I see where God has changed his mind, where he withholds judgment for somebody who repents. And a whole nation repented and God changed his mind and chose not to destroy them. Okay. But here's the crazy part. So after Jonah has been forgiven, Jonah now gets back into his feelings, right? So he started out the book in his feelings, running from God because he didn't want to do what God told him to do. And now we see where Jonah's back in his feelings. Now he's mad because God forgave them, right? So he is upset and now he's choosing to be upset. He's choosing to be stubborn. He's choosing to be hard-headed again, right? And so now he's going to be indecisive and choose not to serve the Lord. And here's one way that you serve the Lord: by showing grace and mercy. Why is that something that we have to do? Is because that's something that God has done for us. So he's being rebellious and not showing grace and mercy toward the Ninevites. And this is the same grace and mercy that he received in the belly of a fish. So indecision, again, it creates chaos. It creates inner turmoil, right? Let's put the camera on Judas. You followed Jesus for 3.5 years, but you were indecisive about whether or not you were going to follow Jesus to the end. You were indecisive about being all in with Christ, so much so that your indecisiveness to follow Christ to the end allowed Satan to enter into you to the point where you betrayed the one person who was there for you all along. You betrayed the Savior of the world because you were indecisive about whether or not you were going to follow Christ to the end. You were indecisive about whether or not you were on board with the whole ministry. You were indecisive about your role, right? You were indecisive about your role in the ministry. We look at Peter again, same thing. Indecisive at the moment Christ needed him the most. You turn your back on Christ. You were indecisive about claiming Christ, although you broke bread with Christ. You've been seen all over the place with Jesus. You've been seen, serving lunch with Jesus. You've been seen in the boat with Jesus. Now, all of a sudden, you don't know Jesus. Indecision creates internal conflict. Indecision creates hurt. Indecision creates separation. Indecision creates brokenness. Indecision creates a poor self-image. Let that sink in. Indecision creates a poor self-image. We see Paul wrestle with indecision in Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 14, where he wants to do things. He wants to live right, wants to live righteous. But his indecision, because he wants to grapple and go back and forth within his sin. There's indecision right there. There's indecision. And so we look at these three individuals, and we look at how life unfolds when we don't make choices. And here's one thing that I notice about God. God hates indecision. And I'm going to give you some scripture. God hates indecision. I'm going to share with you Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 33. He says, "You have also heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord.' But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say, 'By heaven,' because heaven is God's throne. And do not say, 'By earth,' because the earth is the Lord's footstool. And do not say, 'By Jerusalem,' for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say, 'By my head,' for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple yes or no." Okay? Anything beyond this is from the evil one. Anything beyond a simple yes or no, I don't know, maybe, it's for, look, he said that's from the evil one. Being indecisive leaves people in the air. Being indecisive creates hurt. Being indecisive, it creates a lot of conflict. Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting at verses 14 through 20. "Know the message is very close at hand. It is on your own lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster." Okay, look, between life and death, there's a choice. There's no gray area in between here. Life or death, prosperity or disaster. You get to choose. He says, "For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and keep his commandments, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord God will bless you and your land you're about to enter." Everything that you want to do in life, everything that you want to do with your family, all your business ventures, everything that you hold dear and close to your heart, God says, "I will bless it. I will bless it," but you got to make a choice. Verse 17, he says, "But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods," if you are drawn away to serve Facebook, if you are drawn away to serve all this social media, if you're drawn away to serve Netflix, if you're drawn away to serve your spouse, if you're drawn away to serve your kids more and worship them more than you worship God, he says, "Then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing to the Jordan to occupy." So God is saying that, look, he said, "It's yours to have. But if you start worshiping other people more than you worship me," he said, "I will take it away. I will let you be a victim of your own indecision. You cannot be over here and be over there and expect to get all the good from me. And then you just turn your back on me whenever you feel like it." He says, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." He wants you and your children to live, have great, prosperous lives, to have dominion, to multiply. Yo, he wants that for you. Okay, he says, "You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him." That word firmly means, look, there's no gray area. There's no gray area. There's no indecision in that. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? So God is, he's telling you, make a decision. Make a decision. Okay, Revelations chapter 3, verse 15 through 16. He says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, since you can't give me a yes or no, since you always telling me, I don't know, maybe, since you always telling me, I don't know, we'll see, since you always in church and out of church, since you always asking me for something, then you in bed with the enemy the next, since you always are he says, since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, he says, here comes the disgusting part. He says, I will spit you out of my mouth. In another version, it says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You make God sick to his stomach with indecision. God is tired of you being you halfway in, you halfway out. You got 1 foot in your marriage, you got 1 foot in pornography. You got 1 foot in church, you got 1 foot at the club. Are you hearing me? You got 1 foot in, 1 foot out. So you can't continually, look, stop tricking on God. You can't stumble between holiness and unholy and expect God to continue to bless you. Like, stop hopping in and out of bed with God. You can't be in the bed with pornography, then wink at him from the bed. Yo, God, look, I know you don't like this, but when I'm done, I'll be back to pray. How can God be priority when everything you do puts everything else in priority above him? You know, you guys know it. Look, let me check your screen time. Like, check your screen time. Check your screen time. Like, how much of that YouTube you watch? How much of that YouTube, how much of that is feeding your spirit? How much of that is feeding your soul? How much of that is personal development? Like, how much screen time you got from your Bible app? Pull it up. He's saying you're neither hot nor cold. He's saying, look, I can't. He says, I can do one or the other with you. Look, if you are cold, I can be there. Look, I can be there to love on you. You can tell me about the problems. We can work it out. I've forgiven everything. Yo, if you hot, yo, let's go. There's not a mountaintop I can't take you to if you hot for me. But if you're sitting in the middle, come on now. If you're going to come down to the altar, you're going to hoop and holler and dance all over the church, then go home and doubt everything that I tell you, you lukewarm. Yo, look, yo, I get it. Jesus is like, yo, I've been tempted by all of it. But I know, he says, I know where I come from. He says, yo, I'm in union with God. I'm in union with the Lord. I'm in union with God. I'm in union with the Lord. There was no indecision with Jesus. There was no indecision with Jesus. He always made definite decisions. Nope, he didn't want to go to the cross, but he said, yo, God, if it is in your will, then I'll go. There was no, look, if it's in your will, please maybe don't, but spare me this. If you could just let them give me 2 nails versus 3, like, he's like, I'm all in. He said, I'm all in no matter what. So you got to get to a point. You got to get to a point where you're going to make a firm decision. Just tell God yes or no. Yo, and look, we've all been there. Look, I am not on this microphone saying this because I'm super holy. I'm not on this microphone saying this because I never made a mistake. I'm only on this microphone to tell you I know the pain of indecision. I know what indecision cost me. I know what it did to me. I know what it did to my relationships. I know what it did to my life, being indecisive about if I was going to serve God wholeheartedly or not. I'm speaking to you from experience. I'm not talking to you about your indecision because I want to point fingers at you. No, I'm telling you, I'm cut from the same cloth is what I'm telling you. I'm saying I know what indecision did to me. I know what indecision does to somebody's life. I know what indecision does to your walk with Christ. I know what indecision does. So when I was studying to prepare for my men's group, God was like, yo, I want you to tell this to everybody. Yo, make a choice. Make a choice. I see people do it. Like, when people sign up to train, I see it all the time. I see indecision all the time. One of the first things, like, I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm saying we've all been there. And one of the things that I always tell a client when they sign up with me, they say, yo, I want to lose 50 pounds, but realistically, I know I can lose about 25. Like, what is that? If you're going to say 50, shoot for the whole 50. Because if you don't, you cap yourself at 25. Do you get what I'm saying? And there's a reason why this makes God sick. And the reason why it makes God sick is because he knows what he created you to do. He gave each and every person a specific thing to do on this earth. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has something that they were created to do that's unique to them. Nobody else can do it but you. And so when God is looking down and you're hopping back and forth between indecision, God's like, I don't recognize that. I didn't make that. I didn't make indecision. I thought it and I spoke and then it was. I didn't go back and forth. This is why you can be super busy doing a whole lot of nothing and hitting no targets. You can be busy all day long getting nothing accomplished. And so as a people, we end up being good at a lot of stuff, but great at nothing. And so ultimately what happens is we get a common tombstone. We die with no remembrance. We leave with no impact. We leave with no footprint. So we're great at everything but good for nothing. Oh, you hear me? Great at everything but good for nothing. We got a loaded life hitting no targets. We got all this potential not making any progress. All this potential, you still in the same place you was last year. Did y'all hear me? Last verse, James chapter 1, verse 17. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. Another translation, the Father of lights. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Did you know that light only emits light? To turn a light switch on, it doesn't emit darkness. You do not get darkness when you turn the light switch on unless your light bulb's out. But light only produces light. So if you come down, so what God is saying is that every good and perfect gift comes down from light. God is light. God is light. So when he says every good and perfect gift, he's not talking about your car. Every good and perfect gift, he's not talking about money. Every good and perfect gift, he's not talking about jewelry. Every good and perfect gift. He's not talking about you. He ain't talking about none of that stuff. All that stuff is superficial. He said every good and perfect gift. He's talking about what he put in you. Every good and perfect gift that he put within his people come down. It came down from the Father of lights. It came down from light. So there is something in you that is supposed to shine as bright as Christ is. That piece of Christ that is in you is supposed to illuminate all darkness. Every good and perfect gift, the gift that he gave you is in you and you're not using it. Why? Because you're indecisive. You're indecisive. Yo, and let me tell you something. And it doesn't mean you got to be a Christian to explore your gift. There are some people who do not follow Christ that are absolutely killing it. Absolutely killing it. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, absolutely killing it. They are using their gift to make freedom for their own life. That's the prerequisite. God's saying, I can't do anything with indecision. But again, you guys saw on Facebook yesterday, at the end of your feelings is nothing. Your feelings is indecision. But behind every principle is a promise. If you guys heard about the parable with the talents, the servants, yo, he gave all of them talents. And all of the talents he gave, look, three of them, they took and multiplied. Or two of them, they took and multiplied. But the other one, he took his talent and buried it. And God called him wicked and lazy. Called him wicked and lazy for doing absolutely nothing with his gift. For punching a clock at a job that he absolutely hates. For going to a place that he didn't agree with going to, but he went just because the world told him he needed to. You going to college and racking up debt and you don't even believe in going. You don't even want to do nothing in college and you just going just to be going because somebody told you you had to go. You punching the clock because somebody told you your idea was stupid and that you'll never be what it is that you set out to be. Every good influencer I've known has met opposition. Walt Disney was told that he had no imagination. This is going to be a billionaire to the end of ages. Albert Einstein was told he was stupid because he wasn't talking at age 4. Come on, y'all. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, but it's up to you to take and multiply your gifts. You're going to have to do the work. And not only do you have to get the work to find it, to understand it, but you do have to refine it, craft it, make it yours, operate in it, be successful with it, but don't operate in indecision. Indecision will snuff your flame out faster than anything. Being indecisive about how you want to live is going to snuff your flame out faster than anything. You've got to get to the point where you can be decisive. Jesus said, because you're neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I can't do none with indecision. Yo, if you cold, I can at least send you to hell when it's time. Yo, if you hot, I can do something with you. But he's just saying, yo, make a choice. Either roll with me or be against me, but choose one. Why? Because when people see you operating in decision, they don't know whether to trust God or disbelieve God. Why? Because one minute we in church, the next minute we doing our own thing. Yo, I'm guilty, y'all. I'm no better than anybody listening on this podcast. I'm guilty, y'all. God got a hold of me and said, yo, Keelan, make a choice. Yo, represent me to the fullest and operate in your gift or get out of the way, yo. Get out of the way. If you're not going to do what I called you to do, how I called you to do it, get out of the way. I made a decision. Yo, no more wasting energy on stuff that don't matter. No more wasting energy on stuff that don't matter. You feel me? So, again, yo, this is what God meant when he gave me the message, disgusted. I don't want to make God disgusted with what he gave me. If I could, you get what I'm saying? Like, if you can only comprehend the special gift that God gave each and every one of you and how he gave it to you to do it, but you squander it, yo, that would make you sick to your stomach. It's no different than somebody who has watched their kid, you know, fall victim to drugs and alcohol or just make absolutely nothing done with it. Yo, it makes you sick to your stomach. You even saw the potential, yo. Like, you saw the potential. Or maybe it's your best friend. You saw what kind of potential they had, but wasted their life, wasted their gifts. You've seen kids who had great, great talent, didn't do anything. They didn't go to the league. They didn't learn to teach other kids. They didn't learn to give all their knowledge and expertise to other people. Squandered it. Squandered the gift. God doesn't want that for you. He wants a job well done, thy good and faithful servant. When I'm standing before Christ, I want to turn around and I want to see that my gift made an impact. When I die, I don't want to, look, when I want to be remembered when I pass away. Not for credit, but I want my gift to have made such an impact that it changed the world even years after I died. Come on now. MLK, Mother Teresa. Look, we can go on all day with some people who are still being brought up today with the legacy that they left behind. So let that sink in, man. Make a decision. God just saying, make a decision. Be all in or get out of the way. Yo, I love y'all. Episode 25. I'm out of here. Peace.